We extend Christian greetings to each one that is gathered here. I hope and trust that we can all continue, as we continue in worship, that we can all receive a special blessing from God. I again would like to remind us all that if you want to truly be blessed, it is very important that we not only hear what is said up here, but have our hearts and minds open and allow God and His Spirit to minister to the needs of your heart. For the message today, I have chosen to do a continuation on the message we had last Sunday. Fear God and keep His commandments. I was really blessed last Sunday. Brother Ralph shared in a devotional about making right choices. And Brother Michael had a message on fearing God, keeping His commandments, and I would like to continue on with that. To start, I would like to turn to Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. It says there, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." We have a number of young people here today, and a question that has often come to my mind when I was a young person: what am I going to do with my life? What am I going to do when I become of age? What does God have in mind for me? You know, the decisions that you make concerning that are going to impact you for the rest of your life. And sometimes people can choose what they want to do with their lives and do what they want to do. But there are also times when God has a choice and you don't really have a whole lot of choice. You have to follow after what God has for you. But in all that, whatever comes your way, there is something that is so important that you establish in your heart and in your life, and that is to fear God and to keep His commandments. I would like today to come over some examples of people who feared God in their lives, tried their best to keep His commandments. And there are also people who did not fear God and did not keep His commandments. You see, the last part of that phrase, keep His commandments, it's a continuation of the first part. When you look at not fearing God, you have no reason to keep His commandments. But whether you keep His commandments or not, it will really impact what kind of life you will have and make for yourself. I'd like to turn over to Proverbs chapter 8. Read verse 13. "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate." Those are things that we should also endeavor to stay away from and to hate as God hates. And if we have the fear of the Lord, that will keep us in track. Questions that come to my mind, who is God that we should fear Him? What does God look like? I would like to turn to Genesis chapter 1, read verse 1 through 3. It says here, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. We can see here that God is a creator. He created the earth, the world, and everything in it that we can see, and also things that we can't see. He has created and made things that are so small and yet so detailed that the human eye cannot even see it. And you put those things under a microscope in order to be able to see it, and it is just amazing, the minute detail that is there. Not only has he created all that, but he has created the distant stars, the planets. Not only did he make all that, he made it with his spoken word, but he put them in such detailed order. I'm not that much of a scientific man, but different of the earth and different planets, they spin and they travel, all with much precision, and it creates the perfect atmosphere for the planet Earth to be habitable, for people to be able to live on it. And not only that, everything is in such order and detail that we have day and night. And it's with regularity, very consistent. How could someone make something so vast and so big and yet have so much order in it? Not only do we have day and night with regularity, we have spring, summer, fall, and winter. And this has been going on for years and years and years. God created all that, and it's so vast that we cannot comprehend it, and yet everything operates with so much order. And a God that can do all that, and he's so interested in the minute details of each one of our lives, as small and insignificant as we are, God is our creator. Why should we not fear him? Pharaoh is one example. He said, who is the Lord that I should hear his voice? We'll come to that, Lord willing. I would like to, at this time, I ask another question here. Do you wonder what God looks like? I'd like to turn to Exodus chapter 24. Keep this in brief a little bit, but there were 74 other people besides Moses that had the privilege to see God, according to this portion of Scripture. Exodus chapter 24, I'd like to read in verse 9. It says here, then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet as it were a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel he laid not his hand. Also they saw God and did eat and drink. And in this passage of Scripture it goes on to say that God asked Moses to come on up into the mountain. And in the latter part of this chapter, it says that the children of Israel, who were down at the bottom of the mountain, that they also saw this mountain, and they said the top of this mountain to them, it looked like a devouring fire. It's just amazing. God can take on any form he chooses to. But here, I do not know how much of God they saw, because I don't think they saw his face, but I think they saw his feet. And it's kind of interesting there. It says, there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. Thinking about God and what he looks like, you know, I think we do good to recognize him for who he is as much as we can, but we are so limited. And at the same time, when Jesus was here, spent time with his disciples, he said, if you have seen me, ye have seen the Father. And today, in the new dispensation that we live in, God wants to be a father to each one of us. And whatever the needs are in our lives, we can rest assured God is able to fill them. You know, there sometimes come events in life along that events that people have that we want to maybe go and look and see and be a part of. I think it is very important that if we are responsible for any kind of events, that we try to always make sure they are God-honoring. You see, you can go to events that are very fun to be, but people do not get near the fulfillment out of events like they do if God is there. And if it is for the honor and glory of God, people will find much more fulfillment in life. But I'd like to move on. If we think of the creation, God created man, put man on this earth to live. Man fell away. Ultimately, man fell away. To start with, I think man feared God, but man came away from that. And man fell away, and man became very wicked. And because of that, the wrath of God came upon the face of this earth, and he destroyed mankind with a flood. In all that, he destroyed everyone except the family of Noah. And guess what? Noah feared God. We can read about that in Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 7, it would allude there that Noah moved by faith, he feared God and moved in faith and built the ark. I do not believe that the others outside of his family had a fear of God anymore. When you fear God, it really affects what kind of choices that you make in life. After the flood, the going down of the waters, man again multiplied on the face of the earth. Time went on. I would like to look at the account of Jacob and his sons, namely Joseph and his brothers. That account is in Genesis chapter 37, verse 23-36 gives a good amount of that, but for the sake of time, I might just talk out of hand as I remember the account. Joseph was a young man growing up, the age of some of you in here, and his brothers were taking care of their father's sheep. And because of Joseph's life, I think Joseph was one that feared God, and I'm inclined to think that his brothers were losing out on that end of it. And I think Joseph lived his life in the open. I think he walked in the light. And I don't think his brothers did. One day, his dad sent him out to check on his brothers, and these brothers of Joseph had developed a hatred for him. And they saw him coming when he was a ways off, and they plotted together what they would do with him. And I don't think that this is something that just all of a sudden came on them, but it's something that developed over time. Joseph did things that got under their skin. We, in our Sunday school lesson, had today about how a person lives can actually bring light to people who live in darkness, or it makes them feel uncomfortable and can be a witness to them. Well, when Joseph came up to his brothers, they grabbed him. They stripped his coat off of him. His dad had made a coat for him, a coat of many colors. I think y'all are familiar with the story. They stripped his coat off of him, grabbed him, and they stuck him in a hole in the ground, stuck him in a pit. And they were contemplating about what they wanted to do with him further. They sat down and were eating, and then they saw some Ishmaelites coming along. And they come up with the idea of selling him. Do you think they had the fear of God while they were doing this to their brother? Absolutely not. Because when you fear God, that behooves you to always choose right when you're confronted with decisions to make. They sold Joseph. And later you can read where they heard his cries. They heard him pleading while he was in the hole in the ground. But they hardened themselves to that. They got rid of him. And not only did they get rid of him in that way, they then took his coat and they went and killed a baby goat. Caught this goat's blood and put it all over this coat. Saturated that coat in the blood of a goat. And then they sent this coat to their dad and asked him the question, is this our brother Joseph's coat? And Jacob was overcome with grief because he just was convinced within himself that a wild animal had tore his son up, killed him, and Joseph was his beloved son. These brothers of Joseph had committed a very dark and evil deed, and now they had to live with it. They covered it up with deception. And they were still living with their dad, and I don't know how many years that they lived with this thing, this hidden sin in their life. How many of you have ever had hidden sin in your life? I know I have. That's a heavy load to carry. And remember the feeling, how light you felt when you finally made that right. And you know, when you're carrying a guilt of hidden sin in your life, you know, God knows it all along. God knows all about it. There's nothing hidden with him. Well, these brothers had this hidden sin in their life, and it was so exposed down the road. I'd like to look at Joseph. He was taken on down into Egypt, worked himself up to become overseer on a farm, if you will. And then through false accusations, he ended up in prison. In all this, Joseph feared God, always made right choices. And I'm sure Joseph had some times in his life when things looked hopeless to him. But God was at work with him. You see, Joseph was also not a perfect man. God needed to allow him to go through some things to help him make a better man of him. And sometimes we too have unpleasant things to go through. But God is working with each one of us. Time came when Joseph came out of prison and he was made overseer over all Egypt. Pharaoh alone was the only one over Joseph. Joseph was living in the light. I don't think Joseph had hidden sin in his life. I don't think God could have used him if he did. But I think Joseph was living in the light and God could use him mightily. And Egypt had experienced 7 years of plenty. And in that 7 years, Joseph had built many storehouses, and they had bumper crops. And these storehouses were well filled. And then came the time of famine. And Joseph was involved in doling out grain to people who needed. People came there and they bought grain. And meantime, Jacob and his sons were living in Canaan, if you will. And these sons of his had hidden sin in their lives. And famine came on them too. And the time came when Jacob had to send his sons down to Egypt. He said he's hearing that down in Egypt they have grain to sell. And so he got his sons to go down to Egypt to buy grain. Now these sons had hidden sin in their life, and they knew that the object of their sin might be in Egypt. Because these people they sold their brother to was going down there. So they went down to Egypt knowing that. And when these 10 brothers came into the land of Egypt, Joseph was watching for them, and he recognized them when they came. He had them all caught and put them into prison, and he had them accused of being spies. They're spying out the land. And these people were in fear. These brothers were married. They had children. They had come to Egypt to buy grain. They knew their families were going to go hungry. And here they were in jail in Egypt. It says in the account that Joseph kept them in prison for 3 days. He told them earlier to send one of their own home to bring his youngest brother, to bring their youngest brother. But they knew they could never get permission from dad to let him loose. And Joseph had him in prison for 3 days. And you can only imagine how nervous they were. But then Joseph came to them and he spoke to them through an interpreter. And I think he noticed how nervous they were. To calm their fears, he told them, "I fear God." But he said, he's come up with a plan. He said he's going to let them all go home, take grain home to their families, except one of them. He's going to keep there in prison till they bring their youngest brother. And you see, when Joseph said, "I fear God," it says his brothers did what he said. You see, picture yourself working for somebody. Would you like to work for somebody that feared God? Or would you rather work for somebody who did not fear God? I know who I would like to work for. I'd a whole lot rather work for someone who feared God, because when someone fears God, that automatically lets you know that person's going to be just. That person's not going to take advantage of you. A person that fears God is going to have that reputation. Establish that in your life. Establish that deep in your heart. Never let go. And I, to just be honest with you, if I look at myself, that is something that I have not done as I should have. And it gets you in trouble. It gets you out on wrong roads. We need to come back and fear God and keep his commandments. The tide had totally turned. In this situation with Joseph and his brothers, Joseph was totally at their mercy, and they sold him and used him so meanly. The tide had totally turned. Here these brothers were all in a situation where Joseph could have had them killed for what they did to him. But because he feared God, he made right choices. It's the difference between living in the light, living in a way that God's smile and blessing can rest upon you, or having hidden sin in your lives and living in darkness. And when you're living in darkness in that way, it creates an unhealthy fear of God and coming judgment. I'd like to move on. I'd like to look at Pharaoh. There is an account. You can read it in the first chapter of Exodus. And again, for the sake of time, I would just like to relate as I remember, but you can check up on me here. In the first chapter of Exodus, the children of Israel had multiplied in the land of Egypt. And the king of Egypt decided that he's going to make slaves out of them. And so they worked things out to where Israel was in slavery. And in Exodus chapter 1, verse 11, it says, "Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Rameses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel." And it says, the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. They had people with whips over them, making them work hard, and no breaks. You know, I don't know if they had breaks. I don't know what all they had, but they really made them do hard work. And if they get slacked, you know, the whip was right there to get your attention, get you back to work. And in all this, Israel continued to multiply. And so Pharaoh came up with another plan. He had two midwives that worked amongst the Israelites. And he spake in verse 15, "The king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiphrah and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live." Now I'd like for you to look at verse 17. It says here, "But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but they saved the men children alive." In spite of the fact that Pharaoh did not fear God, these midwives did. And they feared God more than they feared Pharaoh. And you drop down in verse 21, it says, "And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses." These midwives feared God, and God took care of them. You know, when they had to answer for their thing to Pharaoh, God helped them through that time. And it says that he built houses for them to live in. Houses for them to live in, and God took care of them. Coming back to Pharaoh. Exodus chapter 5, verse 2, it says, Moses had come in verse 1 talking to Pharaoh, and he was telling him, "Let my people go." The Lord says, "Let my people go." These people were in hard bondage here. And then Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go?" Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31 says, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." And boy, that is something that Pharaoh fell into. He said, "Who is the Lord that I should hear his voice, obey his voice?" You look at the plagues of Egypt. Water turned into blood. They had frogs. They had lice, flies, boils. hail mingled with fire and thunder. They had locusts. They had darkness. And then the worst one of all, the death of every firstborn child, son. Falling into the hands of the living God is a terrible thing. Why should we not fear God? God then gave Israel a great deliverance, brought them out of Egypt, took them through the Red Sea. Later, he brought them through the River Jordan, smashed the walls of Jericho. There is nothing that our God cannot do. And all those big things that he did, the needs that we have are very small in comparison. And he loves us so much. We sang this song after the classes here. My Jesus, I love thee. We love him because he first loved us. There are many more that we could talk about. Time came that Israel fell away, and Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon, they were carried away captive. But there were, in spite of all that, there were of those children of Israel who still feared God. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, he delivered them from the fiery furnace. He delivered Daniel from the lions. Coming into the New Testament just a little bit, we have an account that I would like to read in Acts chapter 5. Verse 1 through 11. It says, "But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose and wound him up, carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, Tell me whether ye sold the land for so much? And she said, Yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things." You know, this was in the early church times, where God allowed them to be responsible for their actions. We reap what we sow. And there are so many things about God that I do not understand, but all things work together for good to those who love him, those who are called according to his purpose. But God allowed his son Jesus Christ to come down to this earth and die for my sins. He died for your sins. You see, if we got what we deserved, we would have to pay the price of death for our sins. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. So in a way, we do not have to take responsibility for the sins we did. We've been forgiven. The sad and the bad thing about that is, when we do not have to take responsibility for our actions, we tend to lose our fear of God. And those are things that we need to guard against, that we do not lose our fear of God, because it allows us to make wrong choices when we go down that road. But God had tried to get man to live according to the law, and it didn't work. Man was not able to keep that. And God came up with a better plan of forgiving us with Jesus Christ, allowing him to pay the price for our sins, a debt that we could not pay. What are you doing to preserve and to keep a fear of God in your life? It is so important that we fear God and that we are God conscious. I'd like to turn to Romans chapter 3, verse 18. And it is talking about people who are living in all kinds of wickedness. It says, there is no fear of God before their eyes. No fear of God before their eyes. What did Jesus have to say about it? If we go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. It says, Jesus is talking here. It says, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Jesus himself here is telling us to fear God. This is not just an Old Testament thing. It is very important that we have that fear of God. And in order for us to have that, it is very important. It says there, where we read in the beginning there, that the beginning of knowledge is to fear God and to keep his commandments. And there's one thing that I find in my life that is very important. And it's something that I have not done as I should have. And that is to spend alone time with God in self-examination. It is easy sometimes to become so busy, even just being about the work of the Lord, that we miss out on self-examination. And it gets to the point where we can just be so, we do things out of form, and we're so busy and we're tired. It is important for you to maintain that fear of God. It is important that we spend time alone with God in self-examination, to not allow ourselves to be so cluttered that we don't have time for that. Self-examination is something that's very important in order to stay in tune. I would like to read Micah chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. One thing that I would also care to mention here, King Saul, when he disobeyed God in not utterly destroying the Amalekites, was confronted by the prophet Samuel about his disobedience. And then Saul tried to say, well, these things that they saved, they're going to sacrifice them to God. And Saul was reminded by the prophet Samuel that obedience is better than sacrifice. With that, I'd like to read here in Micah chapter 6, verse 7. He asks the question here, will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? And then verse 8, He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? Let's look at ourselves here. What does the Lord require of me? But to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. With these thoughts, let's kneel for a word of prayer.